Mr. President, thank you for convening this important thematic discussion. We associate ourselves with the statement of G21 delivered by Algeria. Nuclear disarmament has remained a top priority of the international community since the advent of nuclear age. The very first resolution adopted by the United Nations General Assembly in January 1946 called for nuclear disarmament. This long-standing global priority was accorded its due importance by the CD at its very first session in 1979 when it included nuclear disarmament as its cardinal agenda item and one of the three original nuclear issues. The final document of SSOD1 agreed by consensus that in the adoption of disarmament measures, the right of each state to security should be kept in mind, and at each stage of the disarmament process, the objective would be undiminished security of all states as at the lowest possible level of armaments and military forces. During the past 78 years of the UN and 45 years of this conference, there has been no dearth of conceptual approaches, draft treaty texts, working papers, declarations, and resolutions of the UN General Assembly, exhortations from world leaders and civil society organizations calling for nuclear disarmament and proposing ways to achieve a nuclear weapons-free world. Yet progress in this field has remained elusive. In fact, we have witnessed, unfortunately, regression in past several years. Mr. President, the reason for this backsliding is quite obvious. At the root is lack of progress in realizing legal obligations and commitments, which only helps perpetuate unequal status and strategic advantages. Several decades ago, the strategic implications of nuclear weapons had their own unique identity. But now, with weaponization of new and emerging capabilities and their integration and coexistence with nuclear domain, we are living in an exceedingly convoluted security landscape. Nuclear weapons also coexist with new and advanced conventional arms. Therefore, conversation on nuclear disarmament is inextricably linked to the mutually reinforcing relationship of various weapon systems in tandem with nuclear weapons and their collective impact on security of states, particularly in situations of asymmetry in conventional and nuclear capabilities. Left unaddressed pursued in isolation, the prospect of for ending the nuclear arms race or pursuit of nuclear disarmament would remain only a utopia. Mr. President, it is in this backdrop that cost-free endeavors such as quantitative capping of fissile material are presented by some as the next logical step. Even as some of these very states either themselves hold on to thousands of tons of fissile material stocks or rely on others for extended deterrence. This fundamentally flawed approach must be revisited, as it has not worked in the past and will not work in the future. The inefficacy of this approach is also laid bare when these states, with so-called moratoria, modernize and increase their own nuclear arsenals, or when some states exercise double standards by engaging in nuclear cooperation with a country that has amassed stockpiles outside safeguards and is now already on the path of a major breakout in terms of production. It is high time that we develop a new consensus on the issue of fissile materials that addresses the asymmetries in existing stockpiles and results in equal and undiminished security for all states. Mr. President, it is hardly surprising that some delegations have consistently opposed commencement of negotiations in this body on legally binding guarantees to non-nuclear weapon states against the use or threat of use of nuclear weapons, when they have failed to elaborate on how it would impinge on their security interests. On the contrary, they have only tied hedging progress on this issue with forward movement on their own priority areas in the CD. Progress on NSAs has the greatest potential to inject the much needed confidence building in an otherwise extremely tense contemporary geopolitical environment. Another obstacle to progress in nuclear disarmament is refusal to acknowledge the link between nuclear disarmament and the legitimate imperatives that drive states to acquire these weapons in the first place. We also heard from the panelists today that these drivers should be discussed in the CD. These drivers could include threats from larger military forces, existence of unresolved disputes, absence of effective security mechanisms, and lack of implementation of the UN Charter and its resolutions. While we share the long-standing disappointment over lack of progress in the fulfillment of nuclear disarmament obligations, this should not distract us from further intensifying our unified efforts. Pakistan remains committed to the goal of nuclear weapons-free world that is achieved in a universal, verifiable, and non-discriminatory manner. This goal can be best advanced by faithful implementation of the cardinal principles enshrined in SSOD1, that is, the primary responsibility of military significant states, the pursuit of disarmament measures in an equitable and balanced measure to ensure that no individual or a group of states obtain advantages over others at any stage, and undiminished security at the lowest possible level of armaments. Towards this end, Pakistan reiterates its call for the commencement of negotiations of a comprehensive nuclear weapons convention without further delay. In order to contribute under this agenda item, the CD can play a role by organizing substantive work under this agenda item. And with this, Mr. President, I thank you.